Hello and welcome to AstroTalk UK. AT UK is a not-for-profit 30-minute weekly audio podcast primarily for and by amateur astronomers in the UK. Available only online, AT UK is a virtual meeting point for the amateur astronomy community. Each episode is an MP3 file which can be downloaded automatically with a free subscription via one of the many podcast readers. I use iTunes. My name is Gurbir Singh, and I host AT UK. I am not a scientist, nor am I an astronomer. Topics of discussion have no fixed boundaries other than their relevance to amateur astronomy. Each week's episode consists of pre-recorded conversations with individuals discussing the roles, lives, and achievements of amateur astronomers and their hobby. More about AT UK at www.astrotalkuk.org. If you have a topic for discussion, drop me a note on info@astrotalkuk.org. AstroTalk UK, amateur astronomy, expert opinion. Episode 8, Sunday, March the 23rd, 2008. If you head east out of the Lancashire town of Bacup along the A681 towards the Yorkshire town of Todmorden, a couple of miles up a snaking, undulating road, nestled amongst the green hills, wildflowers and sheep, you see on your left two large astronomical domes. This is the home of the Astronomy Centre. Brainchild of Peter Drew, a gifted engineer of optical instruments, the Astronomy Centre is the UK's largest dedicated resource for the amateur astronomers in the country. Three main buildings housing two 16-inch telescopes, mountings for other instruments when conditions permit, and a meeting area. Although remote, the site has all the facilities required, including internet access. A completely not-for-profit venture, the Astronomy Centre is maintained and has been developed over the last 25 years by numerous skilled, dedicated and industrious team of diverse volunteer members. In this week's episode, entirely dedicated to the Astronomy Centre, we hear from a few of them. And if you detect a hint of bias on my part, it is completely intentional. I, too, am a member. If you do find yourself in the area on the 12th of April, stop by for the star party. If you don't live close to the North Lancashire, South Yorkshire border, then join in any Saturday evening using Skype or view the activities via the webcams. See www.astronomycentre.org.uk. Sitting under the 30-foot dome of the main building, I asked Peter Drew, the founder, if he considered the Astronomy Centre as the most amateur astronomy-specific facility in the whole of the UK.
Well, we certainly like to think so. It was founded 25 years ago when there certainly was no facility like this available in the UK. And it was founded with a view to providing a practical centre for the benefit of the UK amateur astronomers, and also the opportunity to invite the general public to come along in the hope that some of those might be encouraged to join the subject and add to our ranks.
Why did you start it?
It was just because there was no practical centre for amateur astronomers in the country, and we felt that by collective effort we could produce a facility with equipment that would be beyond the means of a single individual. So by collective effort we were able to produce much better equipment than people normally had available to them.
And how have you funded it?
The whole thing has been funded by membership subscription, donations and some fundraising activities.
And is it mostly amateur astronomical societies?
Yes, it's all amateurs. Everything that happens here is a voluntary effort. Nobody is paid, and it's a non-profit making organisation.
Okay, let's take a look at what the Amateur Astronomy Centre consists of. You've got three buildings here altogether, I understand, on approximately an acre of ground.
That's correct, yes. We've got a main observatory, which is a three-storey building, surmounted by a 30-foot diameter dome. And that currently encloses a 16-inch Meade Schmidt-Cassegrain telescope mounted on a donated Ealing-Beck equatorial mount of professional quality.
And that's the dome that we're sitting in right now?
That's where we are right now.
So in addition to this, you have two other buildings?
Yes, we have a smaller observatory, which is much more compact and easy to use. We have a full factory standard Meade 16-inch Schmidt-Cassegrain mounted inside that one with a go-to facility. So it was very important to have a small, very agile type observatory so that we could easily follow the motions of the telescope without having to wait for a large dome to trundle round. It's all sort of fingertip operational, and the hope is that we'll be able to get much more information through in the shortest possible time.
And the third building?
The other building that's completed on site is where we used to have a planetarium, and that's in disuse at present, but we do have plans to probably resurrect it because we feel that there is still a call for that sort of interest.
Now, in all of the two observatories, you actually have cameras set up, and a lot of the activities that are conducted here are available online.
Yes, indeed. We felt that because most of our members are too far away to just pop over for a Saturday evening, it was very important to create a facility that would enable them to feel in contact with us. Obviously, it is possible to contact people over the internet these days, and we now have an internet-based camera set up which allows us to take images through the telescope, which can then be beamed out via the internet to members wherever they happen to be.
And that internet connectivity is available to members who happen to bring their laptops here on site too?
Indeed, yes. And anybody has that facility that comes.
What sort of activities take place here besides the observing when weather allows?
When we're not able to observe outside, we normally spend most time sort of discussing topics of astronomy. We are generally up here most of the day on a Saturday, so there's always work to be done on improving and working on other aspects of the centre.
You have a star party coming up soon.
Yes, the next star party is on April the 12th of this year, and we invite the members from all over the UK to come for an all-day meeting, which gives the opportunity for people to meet up who they probably don't see at any other time of the year. And we tend to get between 50 and 70 people turn up.
And that's with the background of having some invited speakers, full day of activities.
Yes, it's full day of activities based on a number of speakers, refreshments, members' activities, and anything else of interest to astronomy. And if we're lucky with a clear night, then observing as long as people are prepared to stay up for.
These events are available for the members, of course, but also members of the public too?
Yes, they are primarily for members, but we do encourage the general public to come along, because from the general public we tend to gain new members, which is always very important to us.
And currently you have approximately how many members?
We would think that probably around about 200 members throughout the UK.
And is it true that the membership fee is £15 for the whole of the year?
Just £15 for a whole year's worth.
And that gives up anybody, any member, access to the facilities of both of the 16-inch telescopes at any time?
That's correct, yes, plus any other information we can give them, like advice on telescopes, advice on photography, or anything to do with astronomy.
For the time being, Peter, thank you very much indeed.
You're very welcome.
Tony Summers, how long have you been a member?
About 7 years now.
And what brought you to the AAC in the first place?
Well, I've always been interested in astronomy, and I saw it on the internet before the 7 years, but I was very busy working, 7 days a week, long hours. So all I could do was look on the internet. You know, I saw it was a good project. Then about 7 years ago, I quietened down a bit, so I came up here, helped them with the building work and all that.
You're an engineer then?
Electrician.
And what sort of things have you been doing?
Well, I've sorted all the wiring out for the lights, sockets, put emergency lights in, and we've even put wires out to the observatory outside.
Do you have a telescope of your own?
I do. I have a 10-inch Meade.
It's something you still use at home, or do you always come here now?
Well, I come here every Saturday night in hopes of clear nights, which we don't get enough of. Last few months I've been out again, Lee, up at the Dales with the 10-inch telescope and the 400D camera, Canon.
So astrophotography is an interest of yours?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've always, you know, wanted to take images and all that, and I started off with one of Peter Drew's CCTV cameras originally. Then I went to the Mintron. And then I bought the Deep Sky Imager, and I've got a Starlight Express, MX-5C, and then I got the Canon 400D last year.
Do you have a particular favourite category of objects you photograph?
Deep Sky, the nebulas, you know, one of my favourites, Eskimo Nebula, Snowball, Blinking Nebula, Cat's Eye Nebula. I think they look impressive.
Have you been able to take pictures of all of those?
Yeah.
What about the horse head?
I haven't got that yet.
It's quite tough from this neck of the woods, really.
It is, yeah. I also live in Burnley, which is a horrible sight.
Are you a member of any other societies, perhaps one in Burnley?
No, there isn't any in Burnley, unfortunately.
Right.
But I'm a member of Hebden Bridge.
Do you do most of your astronomy, then, either with the 10-inch from home or here at the AAC?
Not at home. I have a streetlight at the back at the moment.
And you support all the visitors, the scouts, the public when they visit, and of course the upcoming star party.
Well, I'm always at the star parties, organising the car park and the refreshments and all that, talking to all the visitors, well, members and that.
Well, I know one of the things you do really well is make a wonderful cup of tea. So for the time being, Tony, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Gerby.
Wendy Rath, how long have you been a member of the AAC?
Well, according to my membership card, the date is 1982 when I joined.
And what drives your astronomy?
Well, I suppose now that I'm getting very old, or older, I've had an interest ever since I was a child. And it's just a continuing interest.
And do you have a telescope at home? Have you been observing in the past?
Yes, I have a number of instruments at home. I'm interested in the sun, so I've got a Coronado PST. Then I have a 6-inch Maksutov. Also, I've got a pair of binoculars that Peter made for me, which is effectively a couple of 6-inch telescopes glued together.
Since 1982, what changes have you seen here at the AAC?
The physical changes, of course, are the building, because in 1982 it was more or less a building site, and the markings out of the walls, etc. And over the years it's grown up, and the building's been finished and commissioned.
And got the wonderful 16-inch telescopes.
Absolutely, yes.
What's your background? What are you working at the moment?
No, I retired some 15 years ago. But my background is actually engineering. My father was an engineer, an architect, a very practical person. So from the age of about 7, I seem to remember that if Dad was doing something out in the garden, something interesting like building a new coal bunker using reclaimed bricks... Because I lived in the London area, and there were still bomb sites around after the war. So we'd go with a wheelbarrow to a bomb site and pick up some bricks, and we'd soak them and knock off all the old cement. And I would enjoy myself far more building things with Dad than learning how to cook with Mum.
And those practical engineering skills, you've deployed them here?
Yes. Okay, I am a bit of a jack of all trades. I can bricklay, I can dig holes, anything mechanical.
And I know also that your most recent career, perhaps, was with the BBC?
Yes, I did 30 years with the BBC as a sound engineer. So that took in a lot of not only sound engineering, but electrical engineering, and to a degree mechanical engineering. Because if you're on an outside broadcast, and you happen to be up a 40-foot high scaffold tower on a golf match where there happens to be a camera, and you're also up there doing the sound. Sometimes things happen out in the countryside on golf courses, like it rains, and the tower becomes unstable and starts to tip over. So you apply a little bit of mechanical knowledge to make sure that the whole thing doesn't fall over.
You come here regularly on a weekend?
I normally come up on a Saturday on a regular basis, generally round about lunchtime, to do any work that is necessary, mechanical work, maintenance work, etc. And then, of course, once it gets dark and the skies are clear, then we can do some observational work. And this is where, of course, I have noticed a terrific difference over the years, because when I first of all started astronomy as a child, my interest, I was about seven when I first got an interest in the skies. Strictly a visual person, mm-hmm. I still think in terms of a telescope is something with an eyepiece to which I apply my eye. Yes, I did some astrophotography using proper film, and I understand that digital cameras do exist, but I still like to actually apply my eye to the eyepiece.
The upcoming star party, you'll be here then. What sort of things you'll be doing during this star party?
Well, on this occasion, I very much hope to be a participant in listening, simply because we have some very good speakers. On previous occasions, so I've been indulging in helping with the catering facility, which obviously also needs a degree of manpower. Brew the tea, make sure the sandwiches are available, etc., etc.
Well, this is a very important role. Wendy, for the time being, thank you very much indeed.
A pleasure.
Gain Lee, how long have you been a member at the AAC?
I joined back in 1984, but I did lapse for a few years, but I've been back regularly since 4 or 5 years now, I've been coming regularly, yeah.
What sort of astronomy do you do? Do you have a telescope of your own?
I do. I have several telescopes. I have an 18-inch Dobsonian, which I do a lot of visual with.
18-inch?
18-inch, yeah. I spend a lot of time looking at very distant galaxies. It's my favourite subject, galaxies. I also do a lot of astrophotography as well. I used to have a C14 on a Paramount, and I still own a fluorite, a 6-inch refractor.
That's a lot of telescopes, and I understand you're professionally a photographer.
Yes, that's my job, yeah.
You have access to so much high-quality kit of your own. How often and why do you come to the AAC?
I come here mainly to network. I don't see friends here, friends I've had a long time. I've known Peter for a very long time. Made some very good friends here, so I spent a lot of time coming. I do some lunar photography here. I'm using the scopes here. The skies here are not as dark as I would like them, so I do spend a lot of time, if I'm using my 18-inch, I will travel up into the Dales or further afield. I spend a lot of, I usually go once a year or twice a year to the US, to Texas, and I do a lot of astronomy out there as well.
You don't take any of the telescopes with you, or do you?
No, I have access to telescopes over there. I should have access to a telescope in New Mexico, so my new thing now, my latest thing is to do my astronomy remotely.
Oh, I see. So what observatory is that telescope based in?
The one, it's a 16-inch RC, and it's in a Sacramento Mountain Park.
And through what organisation have you arranged your access?
It's a friend of mine, he has one of these.
All right, so it's just a telescope that's available online and you make an internet connection to it.
Yes, yeah, and I acquire all my images that way and then I can process them when I'm at home. That's the plan.
Oh, it's amazing.
I used to carry my my C14 and Paramount all over the UK and I'd spend one night setting it up. Five nights looking at clouds and then another night pulling it down. I decided that's not really the future. I think the future really is remote astronomy, especially with our increasing light pollution problem. In fact, not just that, but it seems to be we don't really get good clear nights anymore.
And you have a DSLR and CCD cameras as well?
Yeah, well, I used to have an ST10 SC10ME, which again I've moved on because I've had to do the imaging remotely. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for my photography here, I've been using a DSLR.
The types of objects you're imaging, the whole range was given. The
whole range, it's anything. Yeah. It's all fantastic, all beautiful. But if possible, galaxies, galaxies, distant galaxies. I'm really interested in the cosmology side of astronomy and anything that's distant, the universe, the mass expanse.
Mm. I remember seeing some of your pictures of Comet Holmes recently.
Yes. Yeah, that was a really interesting comet. In fact, I've been doing astronomy now since the age of 9, so that's... I shouldn't be disclosing this, should I?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Yes, that's only 2 years ago. Yeah, 44, so work it out from that. 35 years, yeah. Yeah, but that comet, I mean, there's Hale, Balk, Halley's and a number of smaller comets, but Holmes itself was a pretty amazing object. I mean, I picked it up a few days after it had flared up, and I was amazed how bright it was. And I could spot it in the late evening twilight. And it just grew so quickly, and I took a whole series of pictures. Absolutely amazing.
And I've seen some of those, they really are. Something else you told me about that you took a picture of was a gas cloud that was initiated by NASA.
Yeah, this was at the same time as we were in the Dales again, myself and I normally go with Adela and Tony, and basically we were imaging Holmes, and then we looked over to Tony looked over to the west and said, we have another comet. So we looked over, and it really did look like a comet. It was just like an arrow-shaped thing, and it was brighter than Holmes itself, but it really did look like a comet. So, but we pointed out binoculars and telescope and realised it was moving pretty rapidly against the background stars. Anyway, we watched it for about an hour, and it was travelling... but quite quickly and increasing in altitude. Anyway, upon further investigation back at home on the internet, turned out it was a US government spy satellite that they'd launched into very high orbit. I think it was up 25,000 miles or something like that.
Right.
And it'd taken off maybe a couple of hours earlier. Right. And the plume that we saw was, in fact, the fuel which they jettisoned.
So it's actually pretty much seeing a launch.
Yes, they saw a launch from the UK. It went up and it took off from Florida, and we saw it across the Atlantic.
Back to the AAC. I know you do many different things here, but particularly this year for the Star Party, what are you doing for that?
Attending.
I think you're doing something more than that.
Yeah, I think, well, we arranged a few guest speakers, and we have some good ones coming this year. We have three, in fact, from various universities across the UK. It's probably a little bit of a different, upgraded Star Party. It won't be at Easter this time, it will be on April the 12th.
And you are doing a presentation yourself?
I am, yes. I'll be demonstrating a new astro gizmo called the Astro Track. I've always been on the search for portable tracking mounts. You have a pretty accurate drive, you can put on a camera tripod, fit your digital SLR on it, and away you go. And it's been pretty successful. So on the 12th, I will be giving a short demonstration of its how to use one of these things and give you a few pictures of its abilities.
I'll certainly be there. Gain Lee, thank you very much indeed.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Welcome to a group discussion here at the Amateur Astronomy Centre. And in this group, we have Adele, Rob, Wendy, Peter, of course, Tony and Gain. It's nice to have so many women members here at the Amateur Astronomy Centre. Adele, do you know how many other female members there are here at the AAC?
Regular members, three, maybe four, come up regularly. I don't know how many there are actually members. There's quite a few female names on the membership list, actually.
And how long have you been a member?
4 years, I think.
Now, Rob, you're one of the most recent additions here at the AAC. Welcome.
Thank you.
And how did you find out about the AAC?
I drove past it, actually.
So you live nearby then?
Yeah, I just live on top of it.
Okay. Adele, I understand you know of another equivalent AAC site that's recently opened up.
I could never say equivalent, because obviously this is by far the best. But there is another observatory opening next week in Kildare, I think Kildare Forest. And I believe that that's going to be focused on attracting youth observers and community groups.
And that's actually located in the middle of a forest?
I believe so, yeah. Not far from where they hold the Kildare Star Camp.
Peter, you're actually a telescope maker, aren't you?
Well, I was. I'm now retired, but I had 35 years experience as a professional telescope maker.
And as well as telescopes, you made camera obscuras and binoculars.
Those were two of the other main items that I made, and astronomical observatories was the third main component of my business.
And you did that not only in the UK, but abroad too?
Yes, I've established camera obscuras in America, Spain, and an observatory in Northern Ireland.
I think you made some instruments for some well-known people.
Yes, well, one of the best-known people I made a camera obscura for was Terry Jones of Monty Python fame.
I know you performed some function here for Scouts. Do you think the AAC is encouraging younger members?
We certainly like to think that we were, and younger members always welcome.
On the website, Peter, you say that the intention behind the AAC is the furtherance of amateur astronomy. Do you think you've succeeded?
Well, we certainly hope so, to a certain extent, but times have changed somewhat. I mean, at one time we represented the hopes of the amateurs in the UK that they would get the opportunity to use a very large telescope, whereas these days a lot of people operate from home and use their own telescopes, and detectors these days are such that you don't necessarily need such a large telescope as you used to in the past. So we're more supporting the amateur side of things now rather than leading-edge amateur astronomy.
But it still does fulfil a social role, bringing everybody together.
Well, certainly it seems to be, yes.
Well, Peter and everybody here at the Amateur Astronomy Centre, thank you very much indeed. Thank you for listening to AstroTalk UK. AT UK is a non-profit project produced and recorded by Gurbir Singh. He nor any of the participants are paid for their contribution. AT UK's content is not validated against any authoritative source, and all the views and opinions are held by those who choose to express them. If you have a topic of interest you would like to discuss on AT UK, drop me a note, info@astrotalkuk.org.